The consensus of many reviewers is, if you liked Harry Potter as a kid, you'll love the Night Circus as an adult. The Night Circus is her story of a life-or-death competition between two young magicians late in the 19th century. The contest takes place at the Circus of Dreams. Erin says she started with a circus and turned it into a story about choices and love, about finding the shades of gray between the black and the white. Erin is from Massachusetts and studied theater and studio art at Smith College. To quote Erin, her writing style is fantastical, fairy tale-esque things with magic, mystery, and tea, end quote. Welcome, Erin. Thanks so much for stopping by the book report.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
The Night Circus is incredibly popular, but there's been quite a story about the long road you had to take to getting it published, including more than a couple of setbacks from literary agents. Can you talk about that for a while?
Sure. I actually started the book about 5 years before it was actually finished, and I started doing National Novel Writing Month, which is an online-based challenge to write 50,000 words in 30 days. So that's sort of where I started writing seriously, and after a while, I had something that was sort of book-shaped, so I thought I'd look into publishing it and started learning about the publishing process and found a lot of things that said to never write in present tense and to never use second person, and I thought, oops, but I decided maybe I'd give it a whirl anyway, and I started querying literary agents, and I started getting requests, and I started getting rejections, and then I started getting a lot of rejections, and I think all told I probably got about 30-something rejections before I happened to be fortunate enough to stumble upon an agent who saw some potential in the manuscript, though he did want me to rewrite the entire thing. So when you have the stats that say it was rejected, like, however many times, it was really an earlier, much messier, perfectly rejectable draft that received all those rejections, because I did, after I started working with my agent, do a lot of revisions. So I actually revised it for almost a year after that initial sort of trying to send it out into the publishing world, before it was deemed finished enough to send to editors.
Describing the circus, one of your main characters describes it, quote, like no circus anyone has ever seen, not a single tent, but a multitude of tents, each with a particular exhibition, no elephants or clowns, an utterly unique experience, a feast for the senses, theatrics sans theater. How long did it take you to see the circus in your mind's eye before you put words to paper?
The circus appeared, like, in the middle of the writing process. Actually, I was working on a different story entirely, and I was bored with it. So out of desperation, I sent the characters to the circus, because in my head, just thinking right off the top of my head, I was like, what would be interesting? Circus. And as soon as I thought that, I had the space in my head. I didn't have all the nuances, but I had not one tent, but a lot of smaller tents. There was already a bonfire in the center courtyard, and this whole story developed from taking that imaginary space that appeared instantly and really developing it and exploring it.
Well, I know that you're a very visual person. How has that influenced your writing?
I think it has a huge influence on my writing, because I see everything in my head. I don't hear the words, I see the images. I'll hear the dialogue sometimes, but as far as the visuals and the spaces and the action of any given scene, I'm seeing it all in my head. It's very movie-like in my imagination. So most of my writing process is translating those pictures and those images into the proper words to describe them, so maybe the reader can get a similar sort of picture in their own head.
You know, in reading the book, with a topic as colorful as the circus, there is so much that you've written as black and white. Why?
I love black and white. I've always loved it as a color scheme in general. I think there's something very interesting about it visually, like even going into like old black and white films. I think since everything gets distilled to light and shadow, it creates a very interesting visual image to me. It's almost, you can almost see the image clearer by removing the color information. And then, of course, I love to throw a little bit of red on top of the black and white.
Yes.
Because it makes the red seem almost redder.
I know the circus groupies wore black and white with just a flash of scarlet. I love that.
Yes, I wanted the circus has a sort of fandom, and I love the idea of fandom in general, that sort of shared love of something, bringing people together. So I wanted the circus fan community to be a very particular thing, and one of the ways I did that was I kind of gave them a uniform.
Yeah. Well, time and clocks play such a big role in the book. Why is that imagery so central?
Started playing with time almost immediately. Originally, the story was much less linear. It already isn't quite linear. It has two overlapping timelines. But I wanted it to be told from a lot of different perspectives. And I think one of the wonderful things about getting to write a book is you don't have to be stuck to an order in time. You can kind of go anywhere you want in the narrative. And so time became a sort of instant theme. And then I have a character as a clockmaker. And that actually tied in partially out of just serendipitously, because I picked clockmaking as an occupation for him when he appeared in my head, because I wanted him to do something that seemed like magic but wasn't.
Yes.
So that's where I came up with making these amazing clocks.
Okay, I want you to talk a little bit about Chandrash, who was the circus creator, and you feel very strongly throughout the book is kind of moving people and places. Talk about him.
Chandrash is one of my favorite characters who hardly ever gets mentioned, so thank you for bringing him up. He is the circus proprietor. He's a theatrical producer and kind of always looking to push boundaries, and comes up with this amazing theatrical experience. And he's actually based a little bit, his storyline is based a little bit about my own experience as a theater director when I was studying theater in college, because it's a weird position to be in, to be controlling everything but really having very little to do with the day-to-day operation of something. You're such an intrinsic part of it, but you're not at the same time. So that's where part of his story, and he was an interesting character to write because of that. It's a strange place to find yourself in, and then of course there's all sorts of magical shenanigans going on that he's not even fully aware of to make it even more complicated.
Now the book is being turned into a movie. What's that like for you?
It's weird, and I'm trying not to think too much about it because it's very strange to think that it's a possibility, but they are working on it. Summit Entertainment, who did the Twilight movies, has the film option, and they've hired David Heyman, who produced the Harry Potter movies, and the screenplay is being written as we speak. So that's where things are going. And of course, the process of turning something like this into a film is a long and involved one, but the goal is to eventually have there be a movie, so we shall see.
Oh, it would be such a wonderful movie. Now, were you involved with getting Jim Dale of Harry Potter fame to narrate the audiobook?
No, I had nothing to do with this, and it was apparently my literary agent's idea. Like, give it to Jim Dale, and luckily for us, Jim wanted to do it, and he has the most wonderful storyteller voice. So I was absolutely thrilled to have him do the audio. I was luckily enough to see a little bit of the actual recording, which was fascinating. So I got to sit in the studio and watch him read through. And at one point he stopped and complained to me that why did I have to name her Tsukiko? Because it's hard to say. And he had to say it quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay, and what book are you working on next?
I am working on something that's probably best described as a film noir flavored Alice in Wonderland.
Oh.
It is not nearly book-shaped yet, but it still has a fantastical quality like the circus, but it's a very different flavor.
Well, Erin, your book is really magical to read. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much.
All righty, bye.